The season of Easter is truly a joyful celebration, as should all succeeding Sundays should be. Every Sunday is a celebration of Christ's resurrection. Some people call it the mini resurrection. The resurrection is the bedrock, the foundation of Christianity. There were many things Jesus said to his disciples that did not make sense. Even as we read the gospel today, they still did not understand. And also not only to the disciples, but to those who heard when Jesus spoke these words, such as from John chapter 12 and verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." From Matthew chapter 26 and verse 61, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" These words did fall on deaf ears, perhaps, when Jesus were uttering these words. They did not understand. But because of the resurrection of Christ, now they are beginning to understand, and now we will understand. There's a big difference between resuscitation, or reviving a person, and the resurrection. The raising of Lazarus from the dead was to point to Jesus, who he was, as he was speaking to Mary. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's who God is. He also says, "God is love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the shepherd. I am the light of the world." He is also the resurrection and the life. He doesn't have "he is." Clinging to Jesus means to receive life, at least not yet for Mary Magdalene. The resurrection is a shred of an undeniable evidence, which includes the empty tomb and the risen Christ's appearance to Mary and to his disciples. We have heard of many so-called gods who died and never rose from the dead. Only Jesus. Jesus is the only one who died and rose from the dead, no longer to die. My brothers and sisters, that's what makes Christianity really different. And those who identify with him in the sacrament of baptism partakes and participate in the very life of Christ, the resurrection life of Christ. From the words of Saint Athanasius, the resurrection is the living monument of Christianity. I've been to many European cities, and if you have visited Europe, you will know that many cities are filled with monuments. Particularly, I would say Paris. You know, Paris is a very beautiful city and filled with monuments. But oftentimes, these monuments are made out of bronze, cement, and other materials. And we would say that they are not living monuments. However, Christianity has a living monument, and that is the resurrection of Christ. Very powerful from Saint Athanasius. The resurrection transforms time, making Sunday for us Christians as the 8th day, which speaks of eternity. And we also call Sunday as the first day of the week, which marks the first day of new creation. As I say all the time, when do we receive eternal life? Is it when we get to heaven, if we ever get there, or someone gets there? Or we receive it now, here, and we can live part of it, and initially, here and now. The reading yesterday and today speak about Mary Magdalene. Let's speak about her for a moment. While it was still dark, she went to Jesus' tomb to anoint the body of our Lord. To her surprise, the body was gone. And what did she do? She panics in confusion and despair. Someone must have stolen it or vandalized it. Or if you laid it somewhere else, tell me. A reaction that is entirely understandable. She is, after all, coming to a graveyard in dim light. A creepy enough undertaking in itself. In front of her, to top it all, in front of her is a strange sight of the tomb's dark mouth open before her eyes, and that the vast stone that sealed it is rolled away. Frightened and upset at the desecration of Jesus' body, her first impulse was to run to John and Peter. And we will see the difference between the disciples' reaction and Mary's reaction. The two disciples quickly head to the tomb, looked in, and left. Mary's behavior was completely different, if not opposite. Instead of leaving, she remains behind, weeping. Very likely, she was weeping not in the silent, demure, refined way of the European tradition, but the loud wailing and lamenting manner of ancient Middle Eastern culture. I've been to the Middle East, and I know how it sounds. She cried, she wailed, she lamented without regard to her public dignity. She was oblivious to whoever might have been around her. Why? She was totally focused on Jesus. She was empty, lost, and without him. It was bad enough that Jesus died. Now his body is gone. Mary Magdalene embodies the church of the forgiven sinner. What did Jesus say? Whoever is forgiven much loves much. Remember her devotion, which was total devotion to Jesus Christ. Her question was, where can I find Jesus? Tell me where you laid his body, and I'm going to anoint his body. Notably, it's not to Peter or John that Jesus first appears, as we have heard in the gospel today. It's to a weeping woman who was devoted to him. As a result of her lingering, Jesus appeared to her. When she heard his voice at first, she didn't recognize the voice. And she didn't recognize him, and she thought he was a gardener. I wonder if Jesus shows up to you or to me today, would we recognize him? Perhaps with our human eyes and human ears, we may not. He can only be recognized through the heart. And then comes the sight, and then comes the hearing. But it starts with the heart. And then she cries out. Jesus rather tells her, Mary. And then she recognized his voice. Why? Because remember, she was devoted to him. She loved him in her heart. And she responded by saying, Rabboni, teacher. Then Mary went back, this time for the second time, and announced it to the disciples. I have seen the Lord. The first evangelist, we can say, was a woman. Quite a redemption from Eve. And it's noteworthy, my brothers and sisters, that Christianity doesn't look down on women. As much as there are many men, there are many men who are mentioned in the scriptures, but there are also many women that have been a part of the work of God's salvation and redemption. As a matter of fact, in some cultures, women are considered as a second-class citizen. but not in Christianity. Christianity is the one that lifted women, because in the eyes of God, we're all equal. Can you imagine? The first evangelist was a woman. From the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, paraphrased, he said, "For the world, the empty tomb is an ambiguous historical fact. For believers, the resurrection is a sign of God, a confirmation of prophetic utterances in God's promises in the Old Testament. For the world, the resurrection remains an unsolvable puzzle that will remain to be in front of the world, which in no way can compel anyone to believe in the resurrection, but it remains to be an unsolvable puzzle." We can easily throw it and set it aside, and perhaps it is a myth. But as we know, the disciples were witnesses of Christ's resurrection. The resurrection is undeniable. It is there, and the world has to deal with it. As we move on, for believers, this puzzle signifies the reality of what believers believe and already know, and what has been promised to them, that God may be transcendent, but He is active in history. Easter and the resurrection not only deals with the past, but also points to the present and the future. It frees us to think beyond this life, personal fate, about the ultimate meaning of all life, even suffering in the world that we live in, and events. But it goes beyond that. It gives us the great hope that humanity needs. Death is not the end for Christ. It was a new beginning. And if we will only see life from that perspective, and we are challenged. Someone asked me one time, "When are we saved?" And I quoted what the church says. We are being saved, and we will be saved. In the same token, humanity was resurrected with Christ, and we will be resurrected at the end of the age. One day, my brothers and sisters, you don't have to visit the remains of our loved ones in a cemetery, because the cemetery is going to be empty. Because the tomb cannot resist the resurrection power of God. Yesterday, we are sorrowful when our relatives go, and we visit them once a year, or sometimes more than that. But one day, the cemetery will be empty. As the tomb today was empty, the tomb could not hold the power of Christ's resurrection. Neither will the tombs of today will be able to hold our bodies. Therefore, we must begin to see, live our life, live this existence, not in the light of death, but in the light of the resurrection. That is what we need to strive. The tomb, empty. Death, vanquished. And we shout the victory. We were resurrected in Christ, and we will be resurrected. Amen.